Scott too. Masters. Is Garvey here?
She needs a job.
Is Garvey here? Aren't any in Minnesota, are they?
Not very many.
Senate Committee on Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Division will come to order. Members, today we're going to try to get through as much of the governor's budget recommendations as we can of among the four major agencies. So is Edward Garvey here? I was told he was here. Okay, yeah, we're ready for you. All right, welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Edward Garvey, Director of the Office of Energy Security and Deputy at the Department of Commerce for Energy and Telecommunications. Madam Chair, very quickly, the governor's budget for the Department of Commerce called for a cut of about $46,000. Of that, by Energy and Telecommunications Division will absorb $3,200 of that. We will absorb it in the form of a reduced printing, the State Energy Office. The governor also moved $2.6 million that from the general fund for the Renewable Hydrogen Initiative, leaving a balance of $650,000 in that fund.
I'm confused. So this is a special room. Where does all that money go? Commissioner Garvey, or Director Garvey, should I call? What's your new title? What do you want me to call you?
Ed. but, you know, Director's fine now.
Okay. Why don't you just go through the list one at a time? I think that would be a little clearer. And you have, is this the list we're working off of?
I don't have that in front of me, ma'am. We prepared our...
Oh, what are you working off of? Do we have what you're working off of?
We prepared a one-pager entitled Telecommunications and Office of Energy Security Budget.
Okay.
But what that sort of shows is from the governor's overall budget reduction to the Department of Commerce, we had a reduction of $46,000.
Where does that show on this?
That did not show on that at all, ma'am. That's an overarching from the governor's macro budget. The my division, which is the jurisdiction of this committee, absorbs $3,200 of that department's cut. We will absorb that as part of the State Energy Office in reduced printing materials.
Is that supposed to be a period? Is this 2 million? So why don't you just go through the change items on this list? You would?
Which change? I can tell you we're absorbing my division is absorbing $3,200
right.
of budget cuts. We are absorbing that in reduced printing of our printing budget from the State Energy Office. Other change item is a reduction of $2.6 million that is in the Renewable Hydrogen Initiative, leaving a balance of $650,000 in that account.
And then under that, the Special Revenue Fund?
Madam Chair, were not touched. Those show you the two fiscal year appropriations. Those were not touched by the governor's budget.
Okay. And then underneath that, the demand efficiency.
Again, Madam Chair, those are fee-based programs, which is most of what my division is. It sort of shows you what our budget allocations is.
Use of oil overcharge money.
This is for a bill?
Yeah, it's a governor's initiative. I think it's
okay. And then we have, I guess this came off, is this from the website?
The governor's.
The governor's website is the Enhancing Public Building Energy Efficiency item, which is taking oil overcharge funds for energy efficiency improvements in public buildings.
Yeah, yes, I don't, I, Madam Chair.
Does that show up on your?
That, Madam Chair, that is a, Madam Chair, members of the committee, that is a authorization that the division already has, and what we're suggesting is a change of language to authorize us to be able to use that with greater flexibility to assist public buildings in, to implement energy efficiency enhancement programs.
Okay, so where is that language? Is that in a bill?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the language that the language itself in the governor's budget proposal is a it provides for flexibility. Our intention is to have that be a component of Senator Dibble's public buildings energy efficiency program.
Okay. I can't remember where that bill is now. It's probably traveling through committees. Mr. Mueller.
Madam Chair and members, on this proposal that we're just talking about, right now it is in the, as far as the governor's budget bills go, it's under the economic development budget bill because they hadn't split out commerce yet. But in talking with our lead fiscal analyst, we're going to track this proposal of the governor's initiatives in this budget division.
Mm-hmm.
So the language did not appear in the budget bill that we have from the governor's. It's a, actually the economic development budget bill I don't think has even been introduced yet. So, but I have the language that I got from the fiscal analyst from the economic development area that does what Commissioner was talking about. And basically it appropriates $7.7 million from the oil overcharge account and reappropriates it back to the Department of Commerce again for this new or expanded program, in which will be a revolving loan account. So,
okay. All right. So that's the those are the only change items. Now, with the cut in the renewable hydrogen program, what will you be able to do? I think you said the balance would be $650,000. Did I hear that wrong?
Correct, Madam Chair.
And what will you be able to do with that?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the renewable hydrogen initiative has multiple facets to it, and there are additional funds that are available towards hydrogen, some coming from the XL or Renewable Development Fund and a couple other places. And the concept is that we will be able to use those to continue to work forward on a on the road mapping, as well as the identification of high opportunity projects to keep pursuing hydrogen as a energy source.
All right, thanks. I'm looking at this handout, which I assume is from you, about 2007 appropriations, and we did fund a number of projects last session. If you could go through this quickly, that would be helpful, just to tell us the status of these appropriations and if they've all been spent.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, and actually this is a document that Mike Bull prepared. I can certainly go through it sort of explains, if you want him to go through it in greater detail, that would be sort of self-explanatory. It sort of shows you each of the individual projects.
I do have some questions, for example, about the E85 grant. So is Mr. Bull here? Should we have him come up and... Welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair, I'm Mike Bull, the Deputy Director of the Office of Energy Security.
All right. I'm just looking at the grants for $1.5 million per year for E85 everywhere. It's hard to tell from the – okay, it looks like $305,000 of this has been granted so far, and then another $250,000 in the works. Is that more or less accurate according to your – report?
Madam Chair, yes. That's correct. We have got I think to further clarify, there are looking at on now. I'm looking at this document, the table, the 24-page table of status update report on the E85 Everywhere grants. We have contracted with the American Lung Association of Minnesota to manage that grant program. So the 1.5 for this fiscal year has been is out the door essentially for those for that program, and as they administer that, the they have settled on with retailers for 27 separate installations, and they have a bunch more that are being that they're in the process of negotiating through, and that's just on the E85 portion. And then there's another set of grants that they're working on with regard to. There was also a authorization in that language to use some of that money for B20 and biodiesel installations as well, and that's the 250.
So, so you've already passed the first $1.5 million on to the American Lung Association, the 2008 appropriation, the full amount, and then what do you expect they'll be able to use by the end of this fiscal year?
Madam Chair, I think I could get that specific information to you from the American Lung Association. I don't have it off the top of my head. It's been an interesting year for ethanol generally, and I think what you'll hear from American Lung Association is that just in the last couple months, with gas prices rising like they have been, and oil prices above $108 per barrel yesterday, that we're going to have a lot more interest this spring than we did previously. So I think that that'll be the nature of the discussion you'll have with the American Lung Association.
All right. And then just moving on, the solar rebates, it looks like that's fully subscribed, not surprisingly. That's what I've been hearing about.
Madam Chair, it was a little surprising. We knew it was a popular program. I think we underestimated its popularity. That in the first 6 months of this fiscal year, the entire fiscal year's appropriation has been reserved.
Okay. Then the next one, the on-farm biogas recovery grants.
Madam Chair, that RFP for the first fiscal year has gone out now. And we have the second one, the second year RFP in development.
So you're doing one RFP for 08 and another one for 09?
Yeah.
But the 08 one is still not even out yet. So how long till those grants are actually granted?
The first, the RFP for 08 is out now.
Okay.
And we'll have those by the end of June.
Okay, so the RFP that will be issued in early March, that's for the 09 money? It says that in the right column. RFP will be issued by early March 2008.
Madam Chair, that's for the initial 500. Mm-hmm. That's out now. That's that reference here. And that money will be granted by the end, by in June. And then we will put out another RFP for the 09 money.
Okay. So you expect to grant that full amount?
Madam Chair, we do. There's a good bit of interest in aerobic digesters. Right.
Okay. Just 1 million. Yes. Okay. So, all right. Let's go through the next item: the plug-in hybrids. That's Renewable Development Fund money. I think we should just mostly focus on the general fund items right now, so it doesn't really mention which are general fund. Do you want to go through and just mention the ones in here that are general fund items? Which one? E85 was general fund.
Chair, on page 5, the law heap.
Mm-hmm.
That was general fund. That, of course, was distributed immediately.
Mm-hmm. And Chair, as I'm looking at the list, here of the general fund dollars, there's the electric vehicle project was for $150,000 for a grant for electric vehicles with advanced transmission technologies. That's been an interesting discussion. The folks who applied for that grant did it together, and there haven't been a lot of agreement since then about how to use that money. And so it's sort of sitting there pending resolution of their conflict. The Whirlwind Technical Assistance Program, was a grant passed through to the Center for Rural Policy and Development.
What page are you on?
I'm actually running through the list.
Sorry, I missed that.
Of your general fund dollars that we.
Okay. But on this handout, only thing we have. We're trying to track along with you here.
Yep.
The Rural Wind Initiative on page 16.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, that's it. That's a pass-through grant through the to the Center for Rural Policy and Development. That we've gone through a process to select the actual the entity, that the nonprofit entity that's going to be providing that technical assistance. The center has selected the Southwest Initiative Foundation. With the expectation and understanding that Southwest Initiative Foundation will provide a statewide program and has provided program description to do exactly that. And they have also contracted or are in the process of contracting with the Seabed Initiative, which is a group of community wind developers and advocates to provide more specific technical assistance to that. Two other things to know about this, Madam Chair, is that we're also coordinating with SWIFT for the management of the rural wind revolving loan program for interconnections that was appropriated established last year. And working with Senator Kubley and Representative Junkie to establish a wind turbine aggregation purchasing program with SWIFT. So we're working to really beef up this technical assistance and financial assistance program at the Southwest Initiative Foundation in order to provide this sort of wind assistance that we're finding is well needed out in the in rural Minnesota.
Okay, I guess the only other one I have questions about are the geothermal heat pump for $50,000 general fund.
Page six, Madam Chair.
Okay. And that that contract is out and the work is ongoing, and we will have a final report at the end of this month on geothermal. One other note on the renewable hydrogen initiative, Madam Chair. As Director Garvey pointed out, there was three pots of money established for this initiative. There was $750,000 from the XL Renewable Development account appropriated to us for the renewable hydrogen roadmap, if you'll recall. There was a bunch of general fund money that was established for grants for projects, and it's that aspect that there is some the governor is recommending pulling back an amount for that, but there's also $600,000 in assessment authority for grant projects that is in law currently that was repurposed last session as part of last session's initiative. So there is significant amounts of money still left in this renewable development hydrogen initiative for us to work with.
All right. Okay, thank you. Are there questions from the committee?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Volt.
While I'm here.
You can ask questions, too.
Just to raise to your attention also the initiative that I think is now in this committee that we brought to the legislature this session for the microenergy loan program. It's a $20 million in revenue bonds that we're requesting to establish a loan program to work with local units of government to get small renewable energy projects installed throughout the state. At the appropriate time, whenever you're ready, we can come back and talk more in detail about that initiative.
Has that gone to finance? Has it come to finance yet?
Yeah.
And that won't be a general fund hit? That's the theory of it? It's all locally financed? Okay. Yeah, we'll be looking at that when we get done with this part of the budget.
Great.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm going to let Mr. Mueller, if you look at the governor's budget sheet that came from the governor's budget pages, as you'll recall, members, our division is splits commerce with Senator Tomasoni's division, and so Mr. Mueller is just going to clarify which parts we've got.
Madam Chair and members, working off the governor's handout here under Commerce Department, the first item, enhancing public building and energy and efficiency program, that'll be tracked in our division. The repeal of the mutual fund registration cap is more of a straight-up revenue item, but that'll be tracked in the economic development budget division. The renewable hydrogen initiative, the department just talked about that one, so that will be tracked in our area. The insurance fraud prevention is in economic development. The operating budget reduction, we'll have to see. They described 3,000 of this 46 as being in our area. We may just track that as one line in economic development. And then the last one, the fraud squad, is also in economic development.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Mueller?
Yes.
Chair?
Oh, Senator Rummel.
Mr. Mueller, I'm sorry. I missed what sheet I was supposed to be looking at when you were doing this.
This is the long sheet that says commerce.
Yeah, and the top of it, Madam Chair, says Governor's 2008 supplemental budget. This covers all the agencies in our budget area. Mm-hmm. And as the Chair just mentioned, Department of Commerce is split between our division and Senator Tomasoni's Economic Development Budget Division. So I was just pointing out which of these initiatives will track in our area and which are being tracked in the other budget division.
Thank you.
So just those two items.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Questions? All right, thanks. Now we'll move on to the Department of Natural Resources. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Natural Resources. I had distributed three separate documents, two different fact sheets and a spreadsheet. And before I get into the spreadsheet, Madam Chair, let me just say this. We're in the process of updating this with further additional information that will have base appropriations and additional funding that was added to these programs last session to make these proposed reductions a little bit more clear as we walk through those. I'm hoping to have that to you in the next day or two. It's my intention here to walk through these proposals, and as we have specific questions, I can pull up the individual division directors to help answer the committee's questions as we move forward. First of all, I'd like to focus on the one that says budget initiatives, governor's recommendations. You may or may not be aware that the governor's budget did contain $2 for the Department of Natural Resources. So first, I would like to talk about that. First new appropriation would be $250,000 to implement several of the recommendations off the governor's task force dealing with forest land parcelization, $53,000 in 2009. This does match up, I think, with some of the dollars that are in one of Senator Saxog's bill for the Forest Resource Council to build on existing work to encourage working forest landowner conservation and complete an assessment of trends, drivers, and effects of forest parcelization and other activities. Second piece of this appropriation is $197,000 for a pass-through grant to the University of Minnesota, the Interagency Information Cooperative. This funding will allow the IIC to develop a common forest inventory format, forest wildlife habitat model format, for forest management planning, and an information database on Minnesota's family forest ownership. You'll also see in 2010, there's an additional $253,000 for a county forest land inventory to provide an inventory of approximately 50,000 acres county of county administered lands that might not otherwise be inventoried to help us achieve common management principles through the checkerboard ownership that we have throughout our state. Moving on to several other components of the supplemental budget initiatives, you'll see $220,000 is from the natural resources account to the parks division. This is a balance that is in the account that we'd like to be able to access to meet an unanticipated emergency repairs that are needed within the park system.
What is the forestry money?
Additionally, there's a $300,000 appropriation from the ATV account or all-terrain vehicle account to fund maintenance, monitoring, and rehabilitation on the state's ATV or motorized trails.
Mr. Meyer, why don't you, as you go through, make sure you tell us if these are general fund or from other funds.
Madam Chair, I apologize. The forestry competitiveness are all general fund pieces. The park supplemental budget is in the natural resources account that does come from the operation dollars that are deposited, campground fees, things that are for sale, other dollars that are spent at parks deposited in the natural resources account. There's a balance there. You may recall we've asked for this to be an open appropriation in the past, but because that doesn't exist, we'd have to come back and have the money appropriated to us. The ATV account is balanced in the all-terrain vehicle account that's there, Madam Chair, from registrations and gas tax, underfunded gas tax. Which brings me to the back page, if there are no questions on that.
When you, I'm looking at the general fund appropriation, the forest industry competitiveness. One of these items, wait a minute. Okay, $253,197.53, that doesn't add up to $250,000.
Madam Chair, I apologize if I was
wrong with my math.
Confusing you there. The $53,000 and the $197,000 are for this fiscal year, 2009, mm-hmm. So that does add up to $250,000, which you'll see. I believe you're working off of this document here.
I'm just looking at this right now.
Okay. And then the $253,000 would be in fiscal year 2010. So that would bring that total appropriation in 2010 up to $197,000 and $253,000. The $53,000 is for the first year. 2009.
This is one time.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any questions on that, members? Go ahead, please.
Moving on, the parks, as I had mentioned, that's from the natural resources account. And the ATV trail operation and maintenance funding is from the ATV account, Madam Chair. The back page of this fact sheet here has several other appropriations. The fish virus VHS surveillance is $123,000 in this fiscal year and $246,000 in fiscal year 09 from the fish fund that will help us to conduct surveillance and monitoring activities and also deal with the additional costs of sampling, transporting, and testing fish for disease. Moving on to the fish health inspection fee, what we're looking for here, you'll see language in the governor's budget bill that will allow us to establish the costs for fish testing upon publishing in the state register, and that they will not be able to be, we'll just be able to recover our costs according to 16.0285, I believe it is. We cannot overcharge or undercharge our services. So right now we charge about $3,000 for fish testing, and it's costing us $24,000. So those fees would go up to allow us to capture that $21,000 revenue gap. So you'll see that language in the bill when it's introduced. The next section is a transfer from the water recreation account of $594,000. During the 2000 session, this transfer was accounted for, but no language was passed to authorize it. So this is more of a, perhaps a, viewed as a technical change to deal with last year's budget bill, Madam Chair. The APO bill, or the APO Authority Administrative Penalty Order, this is a bill that's moving through. Senator Fredrickson has it here. It's moving through in the House as well. The proposal that we have estimates $100,000 in revenue and $100,000 in expenditures. I'm not sure if that's the right number. Actually, Madam Chair, I believe it'll probably be a lot lower than that. So we'll need to correct those numbers as we move forward.
Which part will be lower, the expenditures or the income?
Both, Madam Chair.
Okay. All right, Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, Mr. Meyer, if the administrative penalty order was proposed by the department in 2001, 2004, and 2005, and the legislature did not approve it, why should we approve it in 2008?
Madam Chair.
What's changed?
Madam Chair, Senator Bach, during those sessions, we withdrew that bill from progress on our own with the authors because of issues that we've had, either through timelines or working with other constituencies. Right now, it's going to make a committee deadline, and the people that we've had problems with in the past, I believe we've worked all those problems, Madam Chair.
So there is a bill that's moving through Senate committees on this?
My bill.
That's your bill, Senator Frederickson. Where's it at right now?
Madam Chair, it'll be for the Judiciary Committee.
Okay.
It passed environment last week.
All right. Senator Bach.
So, Mr. Meyer, what are egregious and repeat violations that we're going to be giving you authority to assess orders for?
Madam Chair, I'd like to bring up Director Lacasmo to help address those questions.
Mr. Lacasmo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Kent Lacasmo, Director of Division of Waters. Senator Bach, those would be where you have a repeat violator, someone that continues to do the same action, continue filling, and maybe a contractor, but it's somebody that continues to violate. Or there have been, you know, significant violations, drainage of large wetlands, large fill violations. We don't see many of those anymore, but there are some, and what the administrative penalty order bill does is provides another tool to address restoration. Our main goal in that is to assure restoration of the resource, not necessarily to generate income. And the income in the bill goes to the general fund. It doesn't come to the agency.
Yes, he said it's in judiciary. All right. So that bill will be coming to finance after judiciary, perhaps? Or does it have other stops to make?
Madam Chair, I don't know that it has to go to finance.
Well, it's a fee. It creates a fee, so I think probably it would. But in any case, we don't have to worry about that right now.
Well, Madam Chairman, Senator Frederickson, it doesn't actually create a fee. I mean, it assesses a penalty. But apparently they have to have the money appropriated to them to administer it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to. So it would likely have to be included in a finance bill.
Has to be appropriated as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they said administrative penalty fees. That's why I used that word. But you're correct. It's a penalty.
Yeah.
All right. All right, go ahead, please,
Madam
Mr.
Chair.
Meyer. Thank you.
Water permit fee increase. This is a $40,000 initiative. What we're seeking to do, again, this will be in the language, is to correct fee language last year that was passed in the supplemental budget bill, or in the budget bill, I should say, that requires us to assess a fee to people who are applying for a water permit, for water permits that are issued. There are water permits that we issue that are the water applications that are never issued a permit. And we need to clarify that we'll be charging that same fee for our work on those activities as well. So if someone comes into the process and we deny their permit application, we want to make sure they're paying the same amount as they would if somebody came in and they were actually awarded the permit up until that time. So it's a clarification of the language that was passed last year. Moving on to the water assessment reports, this is an initiative that we had in the other body. Madam Chair, we're working with several members to help consolidate water reporting requirements. There is some conflicting and often duplicative activity requiring dealing with water reporting. Some of the information that we report says one thing and other people take it and look at it and then they say it says something else. So by removing this duplicative reporting on groundwater quality and availability published by the EQB, it produces savings of approximately $75,000 per biennium. And that's basically in staff time, Madam Chair.
Mr. Meyer, I wonder if that's is that going to be that's in your bill, so that'll be some policy discussion about whether it's duplicate reporting or not?
Madam Chair, you will see it as rider language,
some
within,
language,
within
yeah.
the bill.
All right,
yes.
We'll take a look at that. Okay.
That deals with all of the budget initiatives that are in the governor's proposed budget. And now I would like to move on to the general fund reduction piece, what we have before you today. The second page that I handed out with the blue on it is titled General Fund Reductions. And, Madam Chair, I will walk through these, and I'm anticipating questions on that, so we will do, just as we did with Director Lacasmo, if we can pull up whoever we need to help answer your questions and facilitate. In pulling this proposal together, the department was asked to come up with a 4% general fund reduction. And as you're well aware, there's divisions of the Department of Natural Resources that are heavily general fund funded and others that are not so much general fund funded. Divisions of waters, parks, and forestry still make up a big portion of their funding from general fund. What we've tried to do in this proposal is not do an across-the-board 4% because the work that's done in the Division of Waters, Parks, and in forestry are so vitally important to our state. We wanted to make sure that what we came up with made some sense but didn't just kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. So what I'm going to go through details some base appropriation decreases, some grant appropriation decreases, and some one-time money pass-through decreases as well.
Members, this is also on the spreadsheet that you should have that gets into more detail.
So, Madam Chair, would you like me to work off of the spreadsheet or?
Whichever, sure.
Okay. If you look at the spreadsheet, the first one, program under lands, we've identified two reductions, the iron ore cooperative agreements and the minerals diversification agreements. The base appropriation for the iron ore cooperative agreements was $275,000 for fiscal year 08-09. In addition, there's $200,000 from the mineral management account that do support these activities. So off of that $475 base appropriation, we're proposing $124 the first year and $124 the second year. Now, these are for grants for iron ore research that would be reduced. You look at the minerals diversification funding that has the base of $172,000 from 08-09. There's an additional $178,000 from the minerals management account in this program. We're proposing $101,000 the first year and $101,000 the second year reduction. These are actually activities that the department is doing dealing with non-iron mining or non-ferrous mining activities, research that we're doing to help deal with the minerals diversification and issues throughout the state. If there are no questions on that, I'll move on to the waters proposal. The Division of Waters, you can see the total reduction for 09 is $150,000. Of that, we're proposing a reduction of the second year of the Mississippi Headwaters grant, $65,000 there. Second year reduction of the Leech Lake grant.
Excuse me, Mr. Meyer. Senator Saxhog.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Meyer, when we start talking about the Mississippi Headwaters Board and reducing the resulting and less review of zoning decisions, who's going to make the zoning decisions?
Mr. Lacasmo.
Madam Chair, Kent Lacasmo, Director of Waters. The local governments are making the zoning decisions now, and what the Headwaters Board does is a collective review of those zoning decisions. So the responsibility for those still rests with the counties, and the Headwaters Board is essentially a joint powers agreement that does a review of those decisions.
Madam Chair.
Senator Saxhog.
Well, Madam Chair, Mr. Lacasmo, you know, it's always been my impression that the reason we were given that power and the federal government is not now in charge of the zoning on the Mississippi River is because we took that responsibility along with, as you say, a joint powers agreement with the Upper Mississippi Headwaters Board. And I'm just wondering if we eliminate this particular amount of money, and we have funded it all the way along, I believe, what's going to happen to this? First of all, the Headwaters Board, and secondly, what's the federal government's reaction to this going to be?
Madam Chair, Senator Saxhog, well, I don't know that I can anticipate what the federal government's reaction is, but they don't have an ongoing program to designate federal wild and scenic rivers. I mean, that's not very active. I know when this was first formed, that was the goal, was to eliminate any federal intervention in the management of the Upper Mississippi River. I don't see that looming on the horizon if we take this action. The local government, each county has their individual zoning authority, which they exercise, and that will continue.
And Madam Chair,
Senator Saxon.
And in terms of consistency, Madam Chair and Mr. Loxmo, we all understand that the Mississippi River, of course, has many counties. I mean, there's very few local units of government that aren't counties. You know, it goes through several cities: Grand Rapids, Bemidji, Brainerd, Aiken. But generally, it's the counties that are making the decisions. And the question is, how do we find consistency without somebody like the Mississippi Headwaters Board?
Mr. Lacus-Mall.
Madam Chairman, Senator Saxhog, certainly a joint powers board or some collective group helps to assure consistency and having the review of that. Whether or not, I know looking at their, the local commitment, they've got a lot of money that they expend on this effort already. Whether or not this $65,000 makes a difference to them, whether or not they exist or not into the future, would be the question.
Thank you.
All right, go ahead, please.
Madam Chair, I'll keep Director Lacus-Mall up here in case there's any other questions on this section. Ended at Leech Lake grant, that's a $5,000 reduction. We're also proposing a $22,000 reduction to the RIN dikes. That was a $200,000 base appropriation in 08-09. And then in 2010, there'll be a $20,000 reduction there as well. The Red River mediation appropriation in the last year's budget bill was appropriated $310,000. We're looking at taking $30,000 of that 09 appropriation, and then in 2010, a $60,000 reduction. Madam Chair, the next line, clean water activities. We received a one-time appropriation of $2.25 million. We're proposing a $98,000 reduction here. These are cost savings from timelines that have been it's taken us a while to get these positions identified, crafted, posted. So these are savings that are existing right now, salary savings from this appropriation.
So can you kind of give us an update? Where's that money going? Have you hired people yet, or what progress are you making?
Madam Chair, yes, we've hired a number of staff. That money in the Division of Waters is primarily used for stream gauging. So we've hired probably about five staff, I think, for the stream gauging program, and then equipment to set up the stream gauging stations. So the hiring, as Mr. Meyer said, the hiring took a little bit of time, so we didn't need the full funding for that year. But we are making significant progress. The staff are on board, and we're, certainly once open water starts, we'll be gauging streams.
And I think we made that appropriation last available into 09. Is that right? Okay.
Madam Chair, it was a one-time appropriation of $2.25 million, and we basically looked at that as 1.125 each year, and that's how we were looking to utilize the funds.
So that's you're on track to spend that amount, more or less, minus this $98,000.
Madam Chair, that's correct.
All right, go ahead, please.
Madam Chair, moving on to the next category on the spreadsheet is Parks and Recreation, which doesn't line up with the other piece, but we'll just continue working off of this. In the last biennial budget, they received a base appropriation of $20,323,000. We're proposing a base reduction of $450,000 the first year and $450,000 the second year. Of this, a majority of it will be based upon a shift from our professional services dealing with architectural work and design into a professional services account, much like other agencies do. That's about $270,000 of that each year. The remainder will be taken from supply and expense budgets, reduced by 3%, and then we will reduce our internship opportunities by one person.
So that cut will only be to central administration of parks, it sounds like. Or is there anything that would affect individual parks?
Madam Chair, it'll be spread across the board. The supply reductions will be based, they'll go across the board. The $270,000 for our professional services contracts will be, are based in central, in our St. Paul office where our design and planning takes place for those projects.
Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, Mr. Meyer, the professional services, are those from on staff personnel, or are they contracts?
Madam Chair, Senator Fredrickson, these are our staff. We have two people who do design work within the Parks Division. We'll be moving them into our professional services division. Much like other agencies do, these people will be funded on a per-project basis based upon the funding of those projects. So, for example, some of their services that are related to bond proceeds would come out of those bond proceeds as other departments and agencies do.
Thank you.
Go ahead, please.
Madam Chair, moving to Trails and Operations, their past their base or historic appropriation was $1.313 million. They received an additional $750,000 last year. Our proposed reductions in 2009 would be $200,000 the first year, and then $275,000 in 2010. This will direct, you'll see there, reduced maintenance efforts on state trails, reducing contracts. These are the larger contracts, asphalting, crack sealing, things like that. It's our intentions to continue our level of activity with MCC. That is where we receive the most benefit for our dollar, working with that organization to do our work. And then also there'll be a reduction of 2.5 FTEs. In fiscal year 10, it will result in a further reduction in these larger contracts, interpretation and vegetative management. In addition to the general fund, there's another $760,000 of other funds that are out there from the dedicated accounts that go into these activities as well. So just to let you know that. The next
line. So when you say reduce contracts, does that affect the MCC Corps?
Madam Chair, the contracts we've identified here are larger contracts, would be for asphalting trails, crack sealing, things like that. Currently, we do not do those types of activities with the Minnesota Conservation Corps.
All right, but it would have a direct impact on maintenance.
Madam Chair, yes, you're correct.
Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, what's the general fund appropriation for that?
It was $1.313 million, and then there was an additional $750,000 allocated last year for these activities in the budget.
Isn't that permanent money? Yeah, the $750,000 is ongoing base
money.
Yeah,
that was new dollars, Madam Chair.
Plus the dedicated accounts. Mm-hmm. So maybe the base, can you give us a total base amount there?
$1.313 million, and then it would be the $750,000 additional, so.
Plus the dedicated accounts you mentioned.
Yeah, $760,000, so. 2.75, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you.
Director Boa can add those numbers much faster, I guess.
Senator Rummel, did you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's just a curiosity question. When you reduce the asphalt and the maintenance on these trails, are we opening ourselves up to some safety issues?
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members, Forrest Bow, Director of Trails and Waterways, and Senator Rummel. The base amount that we've had to work with over the past years does address all the safety issues on our trails.
Well, okay. Senator Rummel, I think you make a good point. I don't think we want to go there. All right. Thank you, Mr. Bow. Go ahead for the next. You
Madam
might as well
Chair,
stay up here in case there's another question.
Actually, that covers our trails.
Did you get to the non-motorized?
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. No. Non-motorized, there was $400,000 in the budget for 08-09. We're proposing a reduction in 09 of $50,000. This will provide, you'll see, a reduced effort in rehabilitation of existing ski, hiking, mountain bike, and horse trails throughout the state.
Questions? All right. All right, thank you. Go ahead, please.
Moving on, Madam Chair, the Division of Fish and Wildlife, their total general fund appropriation 08-09 was $2.56 million. You can see we're proposing in 2009 a reduction of that from $329,000 to 2010, $441,000 reduction. This will come through efficiencies gained through restructuring of the divisions. Since the divisions were combined several years ago, we have not taken a more in-depth restructuring. We need to look at the ratio of employees versus supervisors and make sure that those are most appropriate and just realign ourselves internally to be more efficient. Okay. Moving on, the next appropriation, the bill last year contained, I believe it was $350,000 general fund for the Let's Go Fishing grant program. We're proposing that the second year funding of that be eliminated. So that's $175,000 general fund. The next line is the Minnesota Shooting Sports Education Center. They receive $100,000 in our ongoing appropriations per year. What we're proposing in 09 is to reduce that by $46,000 and then 010 eliminate that. One of the things we're trying to look at is how can we work with that organization and that facility to help them be more self-sufficient. We're exploring the opportunities of actually moving some DNR staff in there to help pay for the heating and the lighting and working with law enforcement and other groups to help operate the facility on the weekends.
Madam Chair.
Oh, Senator Saxhog.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Meyer, who owns the Minnesota Shooting Sports Center?
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, Senator Saxhog, the facility was purchased with bonding dollars. I believe it's probably the Department of Administration. Do we own it? Or?
I think DNR owns it.
I can get back to you on that. We do not own the DNR. It's not a DNR facility. It was one such as, and maybe Senate Counsel can help me here, purchased with bond dollars to like the Wildlife Research Center. Who owns those entities? Mr. Knopf, do you have any help on that?
Well, Mr. Knopf.
Madam Chair, I'm hesitant to weigh in, but when you start naming all the other ones, but what I remember is the Shooting Sports Center, I think the land is owned by DNR. There were some bond proceeds for it, but I thought it was a DNR-owned facility, and that's why the bonding dollars worked for that situation. Otherwise, you would have to have it publicly owned by somebody else. But
Mr. Meyer.
Madam Chair, let me look into that and provide the committee with detailed information on that.
Senator Saxhog.
Madam Chair, Mr. Meyer, yeah, I wish you would because, you know, we do, so if we own the building, we need to put something down there to take care of it. And as you say, I certainly approve of the idea of other uses and working with the stakeholders.
Go ahead,
Thank
Mr.
you.
Meyer.
Pat? Madam Chair, the next line on the spreadsheet deals with licensing. Currently licensing, the mailroom is funded through the Department of Fish and Wildlife, Division of Fish and Wildlife, since most of our mailing goes through licenses, other opportunities that are going through our licensing system. So we'll be looking at putting this more onto our operation support governance system, and each division will be funding these activities directly related to what their proportion of the mailroom is.
Senator Pariseau.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Meyer, I'm notice that on your general fund reduction column, it mentions there that on the Shooting Sports Center, oh, wait a minute, am I in the wrong section, am I in the wrong line? Yeah, well, restructuring is mentioned. What do you have in mind for restructuring?
Madam Chair, let me just make sure.
Understanding how it was, I know how it was run before.
Madam Chair, for the record, Dave Shad, Fish and Wildlife Director, DNR. Sarah Pariseau, the restructuring that's referenced there is related to primarily in our fisheries section. We're going to do some restructuring, some staff reductions, and look at our organizational structure to achieve those savings. Is that what you were referring to?
Madam Chair, Mr. Shad, no, I'm talking about the Shooting Sports Center.
Oh.
Mentions restructuring on the line over to the right on my
Madam Chair, I believe that's an error. That should have read that we're going to look with the community for an alternative model for managing the shooting sports center, Senator Pariseau. What we'd like to do, and Bob addressed it briefly, but what we'd like to do is work with the community, either house some DNR employees there during the day, or maybe find some other uses of that building during the day, and then still operate the shooting sports center as a shooting facility on evenings and weekends. And so we can maybe subsidize the operation of that building, pay for the heat and the lights and that sort of thing, the maintenance, with tenants more or less, but then continue to operate it as a shooting sports center. And we're exploring some options, working with the community and interests in the community to see what we can come up with there. And this phase out of funding gives us about a year and a half to figure it out.
Madam Chair, I thank you, Mr. Shad, because I've been concerned about that facility for a long time. I think we have to preserve it.
Madam Chair, the state's got a big investment in that facility, and we'd like to continue to use it for that purpose if we can figure out a way to make it viable.
Senator Chaudhry.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Does this mean that the center will close down for a year and a half? And if not, where's that money going to come from?
Madam Chair and Senator, we're actually figuring that out. There is a nonprofit organization, a board that's been created to help support the uses in the shooting sports center. We've been working with that board for quite a while now to see if they can generate some fundraising, working with the National Rifle Association, the National Shooting Sports Foundation, other national groups to see if they could provide some money to help in supporting both the operation of the building and some of the programming that we do. They have had some success in that fundraising, and so this first year will be kind of a transition, kind of a mix of state funding and that private money, and then hopefully by the end of the biennium here, we'll have a kind of a future direction to go, and we won't have that reliance on either state money or the nonprofit's money.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, please.
Madam Chair, the last line here under Fish and Wildlife deals with the prairie wetlands appropriation we received last year. That was $575,000 each year. This would be reduced by $200,000 in 2009 and the same amount in 2010. Will directly reduce our projects to restore and enhance the prairie wetland complexes. This funding is also matched by a one-time $575,000 appropriation as well.
Madam Chair.
Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you. How many fewer projects do you expect to be restoring and enhancing?
Madam Chair and Senator, that's a good question and one that I can't give a really good answer to. This money is used for grants out to local teams that have formed in some of these areas where we're hoping to build complexes of wetlands and grasslands. These teams are comprised of DNR folks, U.S. Fish and Wildlife folks, local soil and water conservation district, some of the federal agencies, and those teams request these funds in the form of grants based on what they see as the greatest needs in these local areas. And so depending on what we might get from those teams in the future would really drive what we're not able to do in the future. A lot of the money that's gone out so far has been used to piggyback on existing incentive programs for landowners, for example, to boost the cost share so that it's not quite as onerous for landowners to get into some of these programs. We've helped fund some conservation easements out there, a wide variety of activities, so it's really hard to assign an acres value to this reduction because it's very dependent on what the teams come up with out there.
So, Madam Chair, Mr. Shad, is it safe to say at least that this money would be leveraging other dollars if it were to be used?
Madam Chair, Senator Chaudhry, that is our hope, and that's kind of the concept between the Working Lands Initiative, is that we would use these state funds to leverage funds of other organizations or other partners out there. So so this would likely result in less contribution from some of those partners as a result of this. You're correct.
Thank you.
Maybe you can at least give us an idea of how many grants, how much per grant, something like that, just to get a handle on the amount. You could come back with that later.
Madam Chair, we'll do that.
Thank you. Okay.
Madam Chair, moving on to ecological resources. Ecological resources 0809 appropriation was $3.185 million. They did receive an additional $550,000. Our reduction here is in 010. No reduction out of that appropriation in 09. 010 of $108,000, which will impact reduce our scientific and natural area management plans and reduce our fish contamination analysis at 50 sites. Of the invasive species activities that we coordinate through the program, they received $1.52 million. We're proposing that to be reduced by $320,000 in 09 and then $643,000 in 10. It might just be helpful if I bring up Steve Hirsch right now to walk through some of that stuff, because I do believe you'll probably have questions on it, ma'am.
Okay. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Steve Hirsch, DNR Ecological Resources.
Do you want to start with the reduced fish contaminant analysis? What does that involve?
Madam Chair, that involves sampling that we do where we collect fish and then we monitor mercury residues in the fish tissues. And we would reduce sampling under this proposal at 50 sites. However, we do have additional funds for that activity in our Clean Water Legacy appropriation, so we would still be doing that activity.
Oh, okay.
Let's go through the rest of the invasive.
Yeah. Madam Chair, I'll just provide a little bit more detail then on the invasive species reductions. Basically, these are reductions from planned increases, and the legislature last year appropriated additional funds for this activity. The new dollars from all funding sources for fiscal year 09 was actually going to be a little bit over $2 million. With the cuts, we'll see a program increase of fiscal year 09 still of about a little over $1.7 million, and then in fiscal year 10, $1.4 million. In fiscal year 09, the reduction of $320,000, $220,000 of that would be in aquatic invasive species management. We would have about 200 acres less of invasive aquatic plant control, but we would still do about 1,900 acres, which is up from their current number of about 1,200 acres. We would do 4,000 hours less of watercraft inspection hours, but we would still do, even with that reduction, a little over 38,000 hours of watercraft inspections, which is up from the current level of 24,000 hours. And then under enforcement, we currently have wetland enforcement officers, and the plan was to increase that. So we had 10 officers that did a combination of wetland enforcement and invasive species enforcement. So the plan is still to do that, but instead of having 10 positions, we'll have 9 positions, and one half of the FTE reduction would be from this invasive species funding. And then the proposed reduction in fiscal year 09 would also include a $100,000 reduction in terrestrial invasive species. And this is doing inventory and then in control work on DNR lands.
Senator Saxhawk, excuse me.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Hirsch, on invasive species, it sounds like we're being quite aggressive with what we proposed for last year. So are we still keeping up with invasive species as you see them coming into the state?
Mr. Hirsch.
Madam Chair and Senator Saxhawk, it's a tough question to answer, you know, in a general way. I mean, we're seeing more invasive species each year. We're seeing more waters invested with invasive species. I think we're keeping up very well on our information programs, our awareness programs. The watercraft inspection program, I think, is keeping up very well. Things like grants for aquatic plant control, It may not seem like we're doing very much given the magnitude of the problem, but the thing to remember there is that the work in terms of determining the effectiveness of long-term effectiveness of pesticide control and being a way to keep invasive aquatic plants at bay is still very much in question. So that it's more of a, I wouldn't call it an experimental program, but more of a pilot program to determine, you know, what is the long-term efficacy of that approach. So, you know, it really depends. It depends on the area you're looking at. It's a big problem, though, and I would say overall, you know, we still, you know, in the long run, we'll need more resources overall for it.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
Madam Chair, I'll go into the clean water legacy cuts, and just to provide some context, the division received an appropriation, a one-time appropriation for the biennium of $2.25 million, and what that was going to be used for was, first of all, to hire five positions, four of those to provide technical assistance for TMDL planning. Those would be regional positions, and then one position to provide interagency coordination for TMDL planning. Of the proposed cuts, $232,000 of that is actually salary savings for those five positions. So we're still going to be filling those positions. They're actually posted now, but it's taken us a while to determine what those positions would do, create the position descriptions, determine what classification level they should be at. So we're on track with that, but we do have some salary savings there. We were also going to do biological monitoring for TMDL plans, and what this is also called index of biotic integrity monitoring. This is non-game fish sampling to determine, you know, the environmental health of water based on species diversity. The monitoring we're currently doing is on a 13-year cycle, and we're going to continue to do that. We had planned to expand that monitoring so that we could get onto a 10-year cycle, and under the proposed cuts, we wouldn't do that. We would take $160,000 away. We wouldn't be able to expand that and get on the 10-year cycle. And then we are also going to try to expand the applicability of the Index of Biotic Integrity tool, because right now the information that we get is not very applicable to large lakes or lakes in northeast Minnesota. So under the proposed cuts, we wouldn't be doing that, and that would be a $90,000 cut. So the other things that wouldn't change, we still do the mercury monitoring fish tissue, and we would still be doing the watershed assessment tool.
How much of that savings was personnel, bringing on new personnel that just took a while?
Madam Chair, that would be $232,000 out of the total of $482,000.
And the 90, the last 90?
Yeah.
What was the last 90 that you mentioned?
Madam Chair, the last $90,000 was to expand the applicability of the biological monitoring or IBI tool.
Oh. To some other lakes.
To lakes, basically large lakes and then lakes in northeast Minnesota.
How is it, so you're hiring people with just 1 year of funding in mind at this point?
Madam Chair, that's correct. It would be a little bit over a year, but that's correct.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, please. Is that all? Any questions about that?
Yeah, Madam Chair, that's it for the Clean Water Legacy. Just very briefly on Project Wild, we did receive an annual increase. And maybe I should just back up and say Project Wild is our wildlife education program where we provide educational materials to teachers for the K through 12 levels, and we received an increase of $115,000 a year for the biennium for Project Wild funding, $40,000 in general fund, $35,000 in non-game funds, and then $40,000 in game and fish funds. The proposed cut would be just to cut $20,000 of the general fund.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, thank you. That completes ecological resources. We have two more categories to go through very quickly. Well, as quickly as we can. The next one is dealing with the Division of Enforcement. Their total appropriation for the biennium was $3.564 million. They have two initiatives, one $85,000 reduction in 09, $75,000 in 010, which would deal with the elimination of the Advanced Hunter Education Specialist position. Activities such as our bear clinic, our turkey clinic, We've taken many of the components out of the Advanced Hunter Education Program and moved them into the actual education program. So we're trying to make sure that the educational opportunities that this program contains are still out there through clinics and workshops. We've identified that our Advanced Hunter Education opportunities will be eliminated. It won't impact our firearm safety programs or our recruitment opportunities. It also has, you'll see, a $10,000 reduction in our fleet costs. The other position enforcement's recommending eliminating is to eliminate our law enforcement recruiter position. Currently, every time we open up those positions, we have 200 to 500 or more people apply for those positions. So enforcement identified these as potential cuts.
But we had some concern about the diversity of the applicants in terms of the make, you know, their individual
Mr. Chair, or Madam Chair, members.
Demographics and their background as well. So.
Colonel Hamm can speak to that.
Colonel Hamm, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colonel Mike Hamm, Chief Conservation Officer. To your question, Madam Chair, there are still tools that will be out there for us to be able to work towards that that structure that the Chair would like us in the direction the Chair would like us to go in. And this position doesn't have to be a part of that for us to still continue that that work.
Can you give us a report on what the latest recruitment or class looks like, the latest pool?
Madam Chair, I will be able to do that very soon, mm-hmm. And that will be available this week, but it's not available yet today because we're that close to making conditional job offers. Once we make conditional job offers, then we will be able to share that and get that with you, to you.
And as I recall, there was questions about, you know, the demographics of the candidates, but also the you know, their training. And I remember having a conversation about trying to do recruiting not just from law enforcement training, but from, you know, biological sciences areas. And is that something that you've been working on?
Madam Chair and committee members, that you're absolutely correct. We have contacted all of the colleges of biological sciences to let them know that the opportunities for being a conservation officer exist out there and what needs to be done. We have started work to see if there is another venue for us to be able to work with the Minnesota Peace Officer Standards Training Board and the educational committee or educational system that uses the criminal justice component, to see if there's a way that we might be able to do some blending and do some fast track for candidates or potential candidates that would already have degrees. So we are looking into that right now as we speak. That would not be for our April 30th Academy, but it would be for our plans for the Academy in 2009.
All right. Yeah, just keep us posted if you would. Senator Shadri.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Don't you need the advanced hunter education certificate to hunt in some outside states?
Madam Chair and Senator Shadre, you need to have hunter education, and we have a website training component that is out there, plus we still have our firearm safety training component that's out there, and it's not going away, so those needs will still be able to be met by the citizens of Minnesota without having an advanced hunter ed program. I will share with you, though, that we're still going to continue the Minnesota Bow Education Program, and that's an archery component, a mandatory archery component that some other states have. Minnesota doesn't have one, but other states do, and that will still be available. But we feel that we will clearly be able to meet the needs of Minnesotans who want to be able to hunt in either our state or right now all 50 states have some kind of a requirement, an age limit. It varies, but we don't think that the elimination of this will affect that at all, Senator.
Colonel Hamm, is the hiring freeze, has that affected conservation officers at all?
Madam Chair, it has not.
So you're exempted from that? Or because if you're going to bring in a new academy, I assume you're hiring on a bunch of people.
Madam Chair, that is correct.
Okay. All right. Senator Parisel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would ask either Mr. Meyer or Colonel Hamm, Do we have many schools in the state that accept the Archery in Schools program, especially through the Royal Turkey Federation? I think they're the ones who kind of spearhead it.
Madam Chair, Senator Perez, so that's not actually done through enforcement. That's operated through our recruitment and retention activities to Fish and Wildlife. I could bring up Director Shad if you want more specific information about the status of that program.
If nobody else is interested, I can just talk to myself. But I'd be interested in hearing how that is going, if we have pretty good acceptance in the schools.
Do you have the information, Dave?
Madam Chair, Senator Perez, so the Archery in School program has been a huge success. We've gotten a very good reception from many schools. I don't have the exact number of schools that we're operating the program in, but I believe it's several hundred schools. In a lot of cases, local sportsmen's organizations or archery clubs have kind of paved the way and made it easy for us to get the programs into the schools, and it's been a great success for us.
It's good to hear. Thank you.
Welcome.
Mr. Chair, if you turn over the spreadsheet, there's one last item. Well, actually, it's on the bottom of this spreadsheet here. And through our operations support, our regional operations, we have identified the elimination of a vacancy of one planner position. This is up in regions 1 and 2. We've had a vacancy for a few months now, and we're going to combine the planning activities between region 1 and 2 and not fill that vacancy. So you can see that listed at $100,000 on the spreadsheet. Mr. Chair, members, that is our proposed general fund reduction proposal.
A question, Mr. Meyer. We've been kind of going here, and there's a planner here and a planner there. Actual personnel cuts, what are you seeing out of this round?
Mr. Chair, members, the spreadsheet that you have, it doesn't say that, actually. We're estimating about 22 positions, and it's our intention to do those directly through vacancies that are currently there or attrition, retirements. I can try to get you a number on actual positions that may be lost, but that could be rather difficult at this stage in time.
So, Mr. Meyer, what you're saying is the 22 positions, many of them aren't filled, and you're going to try to do it all by attrition. So nobody's going to be laid off.
Members, that's our goal. I cannot guarantee anything like that, but we do recognize the need and the benefit of those employees, and we want to do all we can to make sure they're still around. I mean, it's not easy, as you probably are well aware, to find qualified professionals, especially in the natural resource professions right now. The counties, other nonprofits are eligible to pay a lot more than we can right now. So it's finding and maintaining good staff is something that we really cherish. So.
And it won't get any easier.
You're correct.
Thank you. Other questions for Mr. Meyer? Thank you.
Thank you, members.
Next, we have the Pollution Control Agency. Myrna and Lyle.
Welcome to the committee. Thanks. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Myrna Hallback, and I'm the Chief Financial Officer for the Pollution Control Agency. With me is Lyle Mueller, our Finance Manager, and I had prepared this as a PowerPoint, but I think we can walk you through with just the documents quite fine. what we're going to try to do is give you the background on our portion of the governor's supplemental budget reductions. On the second slide, excuse me, I wanted to give you perspective on the dollar amount that we're talking about regarding our budget. And our budget, the general fund, is 17%. That 10% is really the one-time funding from the TMDL assessment work. So we're really talking about 7% of the budget, or $473,000 that we were asked to reduce.
But you said 70. Sorry, this is microscopic. 70% is general fund overall.
17.
Yeah. Thank you.
But the part that we're talking about is 7.
Okay. Go ahead, please. Yeah.
On slide 3, you'll see the three areas of our budget that are funded by general fund, which is some of our water programs, multimedia, and administrative support. And so we are showing you how the reductions would take place in those program areas in 09, 10, and 11. And we expect these reductions to be accomplished by further improving our efficiencies using technology, making less hard copies of printing, starting to live some of the solid waste reduction areas and being more fruitful that way. Looking at different ways we can do training. You heard the DNR before us about their online training opportunities. We'd like to participate in those and really start to extend our computer and life cycle analysis even longer than we do. Currently, we have a 4-year rotation in our computer life cycle. Last year, with some extra resources we had, we replaced all of our monitors from the old cathode type to LCD displays. So our CP unit and the video display are already on different life cycles, and so we're going to try to extend the CPU unit longer and save reductions that way. So we really, when I talk about communication and training different, I'd just like to give you a couple of different examples. Last year, we used our video equipment and did our small sewage treatment system rules by video. So we had the administrative law judge sitting in our office in St. Paul with a stenographer, and we had people across the state in video conferencing rooms and allowed them to ask the question and get the responses there, but they did not have to travel to one spot, nor did we have to travel and take the law judge places and maintain it. The second is we have just introduced into ours webcasting, and we're going to be webcasting our agency board meetings so that people can do that, much the way your committee meetings and legislative activities occur. And last Friday, we did a training seminar on blue-green algae and the harmful effects that will have. So we were ahead of the summer activities that happened. And we had 3 locations, and we webcast it so people could see that wherever they were in the counties. Again, trying to cut down the transportation and do things at a lower cost. We would like to take more advantage of that. In the communication areas, we also are looking at eliminating our Environmental Innovations Council, which was helping us look prospective on different issues. What we would do that is on a project specific if we need it, folks. And then using, again, blogs or those sorts of wikis, the way that we can get regular input on an issue and really have the dialogue that way and collect it. So we do have technology. We do have to look at our carbon footprint as well as the other, and we'd like to use some of this technology. So our reductions are not a project specific. What we have done is looked overall and said we can reduce our printing needs, we can extend our computers, we can do training differently, save our money. With that, when you look at the fourth slide, we did hold when we looked at and made our decisions. We said, what are the sorts of things that we would like to hold harmless from reductions that are important to us and the mission of our work? Of course, the Clean Water Legacy work, the assessments and TMDL studies on clean water are important. Biofuels continues to be a growing area that we have projects coming in that we need to work on. Mining continues to grow, and then the climate change. The climate change occurs from two ways, both from the legislative activities that have been going on, but also as citizens look at projects before my citizens board and with our permitting, they ask those questions on a regular basis, and we need to be prepared to be able to talk about carbon dioxide, greenhouse gases, energy efficiency as they relate to specific projects, and how will we move projects in that manner. The other things that we are holding harmless are core regulatory programs and activities, so our permitting, our enforcement. Grants to local governments. We do stormwater partnerships that help us inspect and maintain stormwater quality. We have the feedlot delegated program that we manage with counties, and so we are holding those as well. And then our environmental investigatory efforts, the efforts where we're monitoring for mercury and combining with health department and DNR and PFCs and most recently polyaromatic hydrocarbons. So you'll see that as an issue. On slide number five, the House had asked us to talk about travel expenses and asked us to make sure that we talked with this briefly with you. And so we have actual costs from fiscal year 06 and 07. We looked at in-state and out-of-state expenses and how that relates to our FTEs during the time. And so we roughly spend $1,500 to $1,700 per FTE on all of our travel. When you think of travel in-state, we have regional offices, eight regional offices. They come to our central office. But most of our work is really being done inspecting facilities across the agency, and so there is travel that way. We attend city councils, and we have training. So when we talk about in-state travel, those are the sorts of things.
So this is all, Ms. Hallbeck, this is all in-state?
The top line chair
right
would be in-state.
Gotcha.
The out-of-state would be the second line. And when we travel out-of-state, it is working with EPA often or our nearby states on areas that we have. We work with the Great Lakes states on many water issues for the Lake Superior and that. And then we have to go to training sometimes that are purely not offered in Minnesota, particularly when you think of new employees for water permitting or air permitting. The EPA really rotates those around the country. So we try to get our name on the list so they're held here as often as possible. But when you start a new employee, you really move them through EPA's training, and that may not be here as well. To do it. On slide six, I was also asked to talk about contracts a little bit. And we run about 20 master contracts, and this is for fiscal year 08. And those sorts of contracts are emergency response. So when there are spills on the highway or discharges, we need to have ready access to someone that can manage that. We do not have cleanup equipment, so we have to call in a firm to do that. Our impaired waters, most of our work is done through contracting with either the colleges or local government units, either our watershed, soil, and water, that are doing work with us to do that. Sampling analysis, we're contracting with the DNR to do fish tissue analysis, with the health department, and in the case of PFCs, there's only one lab that will do those sorts of things. So those are kind of our contracts. The majority of them as masters are Superfund and landfill cleanup programs. On slide 7, I just showed you again for FY08 the types of contracts we have in place and the dollar amounts that we have going. We still have 162 active contracts that we're working on now, and many of those are TMDL related. And of course, in the spring, we will have construction projects and work orders going out on our Superfund sites and landfills. On slide 8, we provided some of the costs from the ethanol mining economic development area. We divided it into three areas: our salary, our supply and expense, and again, supply and expense will be, could be that in-state travel. And so in this case, just those folks related to this we're showing. And then, as other agencies do, we have an indirect cost that we charge very specific programs to, and that helps pay our operating support activities, how we fund lighting, those sorts of things. The last item I have on there, an air emission factor, was a one-time appropriation for us to look at biomass and the air emission factors that would come from that in order to help the agency understand permitting requirements around those. So for that, that is the cost again of the economic, and that was an initiative last year's session from the governors. Then one last slide I have is slide 9, which just to brief you about the air water fee report that again was asked of us last session, where we started the report required us either to do rules or to come to the legislature with what we recommended. We started that process first by looking about the criteria that we would do. And for those who don't know, in air permitting, there is no application fee. In water permitting, there is a small $350 fee. That is the same for whether you're a municipality, a feedlot, or one of these sectors. An environmental assessment worksheet has no fees. So those areas for anybody will be significant fee changes as we started to look at the hours and what it might cost. With that, we particularly looked at ethanol and mining. And then in the areas of economic development, we were seeing increases in feedlots. Some of our other industrial activities were expanding. And then we've seen municipalities in their development, which creates the need for them to expand their wastewater treatment or to extend sewer pipes out to the development areas. We, at this point, elected not to do follow through on the fee rules. In our report, we did provide legislative language on how fees might be put in place based on a point system that adjusted for the complexity of the project. So a simple sewer pipe, for instance, would not have the same water fee that a complex ethanol or mining facility would have. But as we looked at that, we had suggestions by the feedlot sector and many others on how we might adjust that. Thought that was important policy, as well as because some of these new fees are very significant to do with it. So the report lays out our efforts on that, and we continue to do data analysis on it as we've been asked by the various sectors to understand that issue.
So, Ms. Hallbeck, are you proposing those fees for this biennium?
Madam Chair, we propose language that could put those fees into place this biennium if the legislature so chose to do that.
And does it, I'm sorry, I haven't had a chance to read the fee report. It's sitting on my desk, but does that suggest dollar amounts for fees?
Yes, it does, ma'am.
Okay. All right, any, is that all then?
That's it.
Any questions?
Sure.
from committee. Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Ms. Hallbeck. Just going back to your slide that you said, the travel expenses that you said that the House had asked you to put that in, and I guess I'm just looking at that and wondering what is the reason for the fairly dramatic increase in expenses for travel? Relatively modest increase in people, but 50% increase in out-of-state travel costs, about 20% overall in travel expenses. What was the additional travel being used to do?
Madam Chair, Senator Hahn,
the
exact I can't tell you. I will tell you that with new employees, we have had more additional. We have sent people to for instance, the MPDS permitting and some of those. Our assessment work creates for monitoring that we traveling more and send more people. Instead of, for instance, one summer crew that would help us with monitoring, we ran two along with our staff, so that will have some increase. I can certainly follow up and give you more detail.
And Madam Chair and Solbeck, thank you. I'm just looking at the numbers, and the increase in FTEs is less than 4% increase, but you've got a 50% increase in out-of-state travel, 20% increase in total travel expenses, and I just think you'd expect some increase if they have more people, but this is fairly dramatic, and so I'm just thinking there must have been something unusual that was going on that would have driven up those costs. I'm just curious. So, yes, I'd like to see what you can tell us on that.
I can't.
Madam Chair?
Senator Frederickson.
On that point, Ms. Hallbeck, wouldn't the cost of fuel going up dramatically, wouldn't that also affect the travel budget? Cost more to travel a single amount of distance?
Madam Chair, Senator Frederickson, that certainly will play a part, but I think we can do some analysis on how many travel events per se that we had and what were the differences that way as well.
All right. No other questions? Thank you very much.
Welcome.
And I don't know, is Bob Meyer still in the room? Because I had asked the DNR to bring us information about their travel budget, too, and I think he must have.
I think he left.
Yeah, we'll have to get that later. All right, thank you very much. And Mr. Jaski, we've still got time for you.
Good afternoon, members. John Jaski, Executive Director, Board of Water and Soil Resources. And the only document I'll be speaking from today is the one I believe you already have, which is page 27 of 43 in the Governor's proposed supplemental budget. You want to turn to that? Just to begin with, our budget is about 95% general fund, so when we need to do budget reductions, of course, they're going to be done through the general fund process. And so I'll start out with the good news first, in that there is some funding being proposed in here, as you see an increase for FY09 and FY10 to continue the response to the southeast Minnesota flood that occurred last August. As you recall, there was a special session appropriation that occurred in September that directed dollars for conservation cost share projects and easement projects in that part of the state, and this funding would allow us to continue that effort. We're also hoping that either in this bill or another bill, we're able to extend the appropriation that was made last September so they can carry beyond fiscal year 8, because a lot of the work is going to need to continue beyond that, given that we had the flood happen in August, we got the money available in late September, and then, of course, winter was upon us fairly quickly, so we're hoping to get an extension of that funding. And then on to the cuts. But before I talk about those, I wanted to let you know that there were some things that aren't going to be affected that were made in budget increases actually last year. One is the enhancements to the wetland protection efforts. Those are continuing as they were put in place last year. Our clean water legacy implementation, where our agency is responsible for the corrective measures on the ground to get the water cleanups accomplished. including a contract we have with MCC and the number of grants that are out there to local communities and organizations to get those projects underway. That's all staying as is. The base grants to our local governments for their conservation and environmental protection efforts are going to remain as is. And there were a number of one-time projects that were funded last session that were also going to be staying in place, important ones related to the wetland mitigation assessment in northeastern Minnesota, as well as drainage records modernization and a few others. So those will not be affected. On to the proposed reductions. The first on there is to our grant programs, our cost share program, our conservation cost share program. There were two new cost share programs established last session. One was for native vegetation buffers at $1.2 million. And so 200 of this $300,000 proposed reduction would occur to that program. So it would take it from $1.2 million down to $1 million. The second part of it is to another cost share program that was established was what's known as a county weed management cooperative, which basically provides funding for local organizations and groups to join together to eradicate the invasive or undesirable species, and that amount would be reduced by $100,000, making the total of $300,000. And then in the staffing area, we were given appropriation to hire approximately three staff to create a drainage assistance team to help the local drainage authorities, counties, and watershed districts across particularly southern and western Minnesota manage their drainage infrastructure systems and to help them, you know, do the best they can with that, given that those systems are major contributors in some cases to our water quality issues as well as flooding. And so we wanted to be able to integrate those types of ideas into the drainage management systems. We have one position that we are already in the process of hiring, the point person for that responsibility, an engineer that would be the point person to lead the team, which will leave us an additional half FTE to be able to do something with, perhaps combined with some other funding if we can come up with it. But that's the summary, Madam Chair and members.
Mr. Jaski, can you just go back to the grant programs, please, mm-hmm. and tell me again what the two programs were?
Okay, Madam Chair and members, there's two proposed reductions. The first is for the native buffer cost share program. That's currently at $1.2 million, and this would remove $200,000 from that per year, so it would be at $1 million. The other one is called the County Weed Management Cooperative, and again, to eradicate invasive species. And that's currently at $300,000 per year. It would be reduced to $200,000 per year. So basically a 33% reduction for that one and a 17% reduction for the native buffer cost share program.
And those are both those dollar amounts you mentioned were base funding. Those were permanent funding?
Madam Chair, that's correct. All of the reductions are proposed as base level reductions.
As well. Okay.
They were just started last year.
Mm-hmm. They were both new programs last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, Mr. Jaski, I'm curious about the county cooperative weed program. Has there been activity with that, or what's been the response from the counties for that new program?
Madam Chair and Senator Fredrickson, we basically put out an RFP, you know, a month or so ago, and it's built on a model that's been very successful in Clay County, where the county weed inspector, the county soil and water district, the Fish and Wildlife Service, the DNR, even some private organizations have joined together to develop supplies and priorities for, you know, going after these invasive species. We've got all of that money and more has been requested, so certainly there's demand for it. We haven't yet made allocations of the funding. So that's the status that we have interest, but we have not made the allocations. That would be for FY08. We would see a reduction beginning in FY09.
Madam Chair, Mr. Jaski, what type of activity would the counties be doing with it? More specifically, what would they do with this money that they couldn't do with their normal weed control program?
Madam Chair and Senator Fredrickson, the weed inspection programs have been notoriously underfunded, some would say not funded, and so this will be one source of funding for them. What the program is about is where you've got stands, large stands of invasive or undesirable plant species, road ditches. It could be on easement lands. It could be arguably even on public land. Where Fish and Wildlife Service or DNR owns some public land. They were able to marshal their resources in a coordinated fashion to go address those invasive species. That's the model of it that has been developed in Clay County that this program was based on.
Okay. Any other questions on the grant programs? How much? You know, tell us how much this will lose from this. I mean, how many grants or how many acres? Can you quantify it at all in terms of what the outcomes would be?
Madam Chair, if we're looking at let's go back to the Native Buffer Cost Share Program. If it's $200,000 per year, I'm going to estimate that $1,000 per acre is the cost to establish a diverse species mix of 25 species, which is what's required under that cost share program. That's a rough estimate, Madam Chair. I could get more details at some point for you. Again, it's a new program. We haven't actually rolled it out yet. I mean, we've rolled it out the first year, but they haven't put anything into the ground yet because of the time of year we're currently in.
So 200 acres worth of...
That's a good estimate, Madam Chair.
Re-establishing native species. Okay. And then the weed management program?
Madam Chair, we had, under the proposal we had put forth, we had anticipated six counties being eligible for $50,000 grants. And so I'm quite sure what we would do is simply remove or reduce it from six to four unless they were able to tell us in some way, shape, or form that they could do it for less.
You said 6,000 for each grant?
Six counties would receive $50,000 each to make the program work.
So you reduce it to four counties?
Correct.
Okay. All right. If you guys have any out-of-state travel, we just would like to see the budget for that, please.
I can do that, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. We're asking all the agencies to do that. Any other questions for Bowser? Senator Frederickson? No, you're just looking at me. Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Jaskin.
Waiting to see what's next.
What's next with bated breath?
Yes.
It's so exciting. I think Mr. Mueller is just going to give us the sort of the wrap-up on what's left in our budget to look at.
Madam Chair and members, in this budget area, there are two other departments that are getting cuts in the governor's budget, and I believe they're coming Thursday. Next Tuesday. Metro Parks, under the governor's budget, had a $162,000 reduction starting in 2009 that would carry out through the tails. And the other item is with the Public Utilities Commission, they have a one-time transfer of $4 million out of the telephone assistance plan account, which is a surcharge that goes on each phone bill. They've accumulated quite the balance in that account, and the proposal from the governor is to transfer that into the general fund. So it's just a sort of a one-time $4 million offset to the general fund.
Didn't we spend some of that last year on a new program or some new staff?
Mm-hmm.
Just last year? Well, we'll have to find out more on Tuesday.
They're coming.
We'll find out more.
And overall, just so members can get a sense, in this budget division, the amount of cuts in general fund or reduction would be $5.86 million for all the agencies. And then when you count this $4 million transfer for Public Utilities Commission, it's about 9.9. And there's another $100,000 revenue item for the administrative penalty orders, whether we count 100 or something less. But it's roughly about a $10 million offset on the general fund if you count both revenues and budget reductions for 08 and 09 that the governor had in this budget area.
Okay. Which is what, can you give us a quick percent of our general fund? Well, that doesn't include, well, I guess that is general fund you're talking about.
Right, that's just general fund. Right now, for 08, 09, our general fund is $416 million. So the spending reductions, like
about
I said,
2.5% or something.
Yeah, is 5.8 million of it. I mean, I'm not really counting the $4 million revenue offset.
Okay.
So just the spending reductions in the government's budget is $5.8 million out of the 416.
It's a little more than 1%.
Yeah.
Okay. I think what members, just to give you some what little I know about our schedule, we're not meeting on Thursday of this week, but we will meet next Tuesday, a week from today, and we will, as Mr. Mueller said, we'll hear from the PUC and the Metro Parks as the last two small items in the budget, proposed budget cuts by the governor. We're going to take any public testimony, any comments on the governor's budget recommendations. And I don't know, we may have a bill or two, too, if we have time for that. We probably will, depending on what's in our division by next week. I think Senator Cohen's plan is to have one budget bill that covers all the different funding divisions. That's most likely, although I'm not sure if that's final. So we'll be just working along with Senator Cohen to try to put together some budget recommendations for our division. So I don't know the timeline of that, and I'm not sure what decisions have been made by Senator Cohen about how to proceed. So I'll just keep members posted as soon as I have more information on budget, on our overall budget plans that we have to, and our recommendations to the full Finance Committee. Any other questions from members? All right. Thank you. Meeting's adjourned.